It is the triumphant return of the feistiest columnist this city has ever seen. Of course, I'm referring to Eric Zorn, who's been gone for several weeks. Fill people in, Eric, because I know what you were doing, but a lot of people do not.
I've been pent up for 2 weeks. I've been unable to express my feistiness on the
only
air.
Have a half an hour.
You know what happened on Saturday night? We did a Mincing Rascals podcast live on the air on GN, and Scott Stannis was on, and he stole Feisty from me. He asked to be interviewed.
Tribune cartoonist Scott Stannis stole your
Please introduce me as Feisty.
No.
I know. It was just
wrong.
That's your adjective.
This is my brand.
Copyrighted.
I know. So he's got to find another one. He's got to find another one.
That belongs to you.
I'm going to sue him. I think, what did Michael Jordan get? $8 million?
Right in that neighborhood,
Something like that. I think that's
worth it.
Yeah, it is, actually. I've been gone. I went to a old-time music convention or a festival down in West Virginia. Worth like 5,000 people who are into old-time American music as I am are all gathered there, and they play music 22 hours a day.
Wow.
It's in Clifftop, West Virginia. And
why do they take the 2 hours off? Why not make it around the clock?
It's from basically from 8 till 10 in the morning, and I think they're catching a little bit of sleep, essentially. But trying to go to sleep there, it's like there's music going all the time.
Oh, that's fun.
It was actually a lot of fun. It's actually very intimidating. People are really, really good, and some of them very exclusive.
You're pretty good.
I'm pretty good, but I felt not so good.
Not as good as them. And your son was involved in this,
too? My son was there, yeah. He's a fiddle player, too. He's really doing well. And then I took him. Then we went to a camp,
a fiddle camp,
for a week after that, and played music all the time and learned a lot. And then I left him at school. So
does at least one of the fiddlers just at some point during the camp go up on the roof just to say they've done it? They must, right?
They have to.
They have to.
It wasn't me. I thought that seemed like a cliche, but it's a really nice way of getting. Of just exercising a different part of your mind than we exercise in the jobs that we do here, where you're always wrapped up in the news, you're always fussing about the latest development,
sure.
the latest thing that Donald Trump says, just to get away from that. And music is a terrific way to do that. It's a nice hobby.
Well, you were missed. Everybody who filled in did a great job, but
they did.
We missed you, and we even got an email.
You know that I listen on the podcast. Mary Schmeek is wonderful. And I think you said when you said we shouldn't have to wait till Eric goes away to have Mary Schmeek on, and you shouldn't because she is the best.
Yeah, does a nice job.
I really like her.
Welcome back. We're
Thank
thrilled
you.
That you're back. Since you mentioned politics, there have been some things that have happened in the last couple of weeks.
There have been a few things. Yeah, I did a column on Sunday where I looked at a bunch of little developments in the news, and one of them people were talking about quite a bit on social media last week was that in Texas, public policy polling did a survey, and they asked people who you're going to vote for, and D's Nuts.
That's back at
3%. Yeah, that's back. That old.
Can you just explain for people who don't know what that is? What that is?
I'm not exactly sure what it is. I know a kid in like Nebraska or Iowa, a teenager, made this up. So it's a punchline, isn't it? To a really stupid joke, and he created a character called D's Nuts, and he I guess made a joke that he's going to be a candidate. So this polling company. Put him in the survey. Like, would you vote for D's Nuts? And D's Nuts beat Jill Stein, the Green Party candidate.
That's encouraging.
3% to 2%. And actually, so did, I think, Jill Stein tied with Harambe, the gorilla in the Cincinnati Zoo that was shot.
Who died,
in that
right.
Terrible story. So,
yeah.
So, I mean, and the thing is that everyone's playing this for laughs. I think it illustrated two things. One is that Jill Stein really isn't doing very well. And the Green Party candidacy is just not a serious candidacy, which is not a big surprise. The other thing is that people are a little bit fed up with pollsters, and they're in on the joke, obviously. There aren't serious voters out there going, yes, D's Nuts, I think I'm going to vote for that. They were just yanking the chain of the pollster. So anytime you're looking at these polling results, you've got to realize that in a lot of cases they're just telling the pollster something that they think is funny or they're whimsical, but you can't rely on them too much.
Right.
The thing that I did bring up, which I thought was interesting, I read deeply into those poll results. I wanted to see what else they had asked.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that came up was that something like, I don't have the numbers in front of me, I think I gave them to you, but something like 34% of the public they polled in Texas said that they believe that ACORN was going to steal the election. Now, ACORN stands for the Association of Community Organizations for Reform Now. And you remember ACORN and the allegations of vote fraud. And they think that, 24% said that, yes, in Texas said that the Acorn is going to steal the election for Hillary Clinton. 36% said they didn't know whether Acorn was going to do this. Now, it's interesting because, first of all, Acorn has never been credibly accused of any of widespread voter fraud. There are a couple of little incidents that they found, but there's nothing significant that was ever found about Acorn. The other thing is that Acorn went out of business and bankrupt in 2010.
They did, yeah.
And it's been gone for a long time.
Yeah.
And I think that I don't think that that particular question was one of those just, you know, funny ha-ha questions that the pollster asked. I think that was really trying to get a sense of what voters are thinking about and how they think of this election.
Is this a byproduct of Donald Trump saying a little over a week ago that if he doesn't win, it shows that the election
is
rigged?
Is yeah. rigged. And he's the one who's trying to, who's undermining faith in the system already as we're going along. And which a lot of people are saying is really, really dangerous. I think that people are getting obviously very worked up about this election more than I've seen. I mean, people were very worked up about every presidential election.
This is the worst.
I agree. It is the worst.
No one can have a conversation about anything. It always ends up people screaming at each other, it seems, more than ever.
Well, one of the things we were talking about this morning in our meeting upstairs was that it's going to get worse because the negative ads are really just starting and people are just now tuning in to this election. You know, massively. People have been paying, you know, summer vacation, the Olympics. Now it's all over. Now I think the public attention is really going to turn to this. Donald Trump has gone up on the air with advertising for the first time.
Yeah.
And his ads are very negative about Hillary Clinton. And Clinton's ads are pretty tough on Donald Trump. We're going to see millions and millions of dollars, probably not in Illinois, but in a lot of these swing states. And, of course, every ad that's out there is on social media. You're going to see these candidates, and they both realize that neither of them have very favorable numbers. I mean, in terms of like public trust, public confidence, and their ability, and all that. I mean, these are very, very unpopular candidates.
Mm-hmm.
So the answer is just to make your opponent more unpopular than you are. So I think this is going to be an extremely, extremely negative campaign.
It has been,
but I think it's going to get worse, and they're going to drive these negative numbers down even further. It's been interesting to see Donald Trump in the last week trying to hit the reset button, to borrow an expression from another news event, but to hit the reset button with his campaign, right? He came out and said, was it Thursday night? He said, sometimes in the heat of debate, you say things that you regret. You say things that hurt people. And he didn't say he was sorry, so I regret that.
Closest he's come to an apology, but still not an apology.
To anything. And
right.
They pressed Kellyanne Conway, his campaign manager, on the talk shows on Sunday. They said, what is he talking about? Is he talking about making fun of the disabled? Is he talking about saying that a Hispanic judge can't do his job? Mm-hmm. what is he talking about? Is he talking about what he said about the Gold Star family? What is he apologizing for? And they were like, well, he just regrets things that might have hurt people and he wants to move on. I think it could be effective. I'm certain that we're going to see these poll numbers start to close. The Hillary Clinton's lead is like, what, 10% in some of
just
these polls
below
right now.
Eight or so.
That's bigger than it's going to be in the election, I think.
He pulled out his old, and he's done this in the past too, when somebody is opposing him, he threatens to tell I know some things about that guy or that girl, and I'll tell you that story.
The truth
never
is going to come out. Yeah,
the truth is going to come out. He did that today with Joe Scarborough and Michael Brzezinski from Morning Joe.
Morning Joe.
They have been critical of him, so he said today, I know the real story about them, and I'll tell it to you. But it never goes.
Well, I think the real story, certainly the gossip mill, is that they are romantically involved, right? Which I don't think either of them are married, so
right.
I don't think that that's like a huge scandal,
right?
Joe Scarborough is a former Republican congressman from Florida, and Mika Brzezinski is the daughter of former national security advisor, I think,
yeah.
And she's Democratic liberal, and so I don't know what the scandal would be. So they have a thing. I don't know
if that's what it is. I don't.
If they are, they certainly bicker on the air enough that is plausible, right?
But remember when he pulled that out against the owners of the Cubs? He knew some things about the family that the Ricketts.
People say this. You know, they're talking about Hillary Clinton's health right now.
Yeah.
Rudy Giuliani yesterday was like, oh, you know what people say on the internet? Let's go on the internet and Google Google Hillary Clinton's health and see what you get.
Right.
Like, go on the internet and you can Google anything. Google any nutty
Put any
theory.
Two words into Google, well, it'll about, find you a million
and
health.
The classic one, of course, is 9/11 conspiracy theories. Yeah. You know, the U.S. government brought down these buildings. And,
yes.
You know, yeah, people are saying this. I think it's really irresponsible for people to be doing that. And, you know, Hillary Clinton's health is just a crazy issue.
I know.
Bringing him.
Eric Zorn is here, just as feisty as ever, maybe more feisty. We'll continue this in just a little bit. Bill and Wendy, WGN. Eric Zorn is here. He's not been here for 3 weeks, and we've missed a lot of major stories, both nationally and locally. What's going on with local politics?
Well, the story that kind of caught my eye locally is arguably one of the silliest stories in politics. The State Fair. Our columnist, Kim Jansen, we have this new Chicago Inc. column on page 3,
yeah.
And they're just doing, like, you know, little bit wacky stories, celebrity stories, things like that. So he went down there. I'm not sure he went down there for other reasons too, but one of the things he wanted to do is he wanted to confront Leslie Munger, who's the controller of the state of Illinois. Mm-hmm. And she is in an election battle now with Susana Mendoza, who's the city clerk in Chicago. And this is a special election. Judy Bartopinka died. Do you remember this?
Yes. Yes.
This is a little bit of history. Yep. Topinka died after she was elected. Munger was appointed by Governor Rauner, and then the legislature said, okay, we're going to have an election. It's an off-year election. It shouldn't be a controller's election this year. Anyway, in this campaign, Munger was attacking Mendoza and saying, I don't think she has the math skills to be, you know, controller. And it's like, the math skills. It was just like a cheap, weird shot. So so Kim Jansen, who is, like I say, our Chicago Inc. comps, he goes down there and he has this video camera rolling and he gives her three basic multiplication, single-digit multiplication question. Like, I think one was 9 times 3, one was 8 times 7, mm-hmm. You know, quick questions, and she blew two of them.
It's hard to do math on the fly sometimes. I remembered all my multiplication tables, but when the pizza guy's there, I can't add that quickly. I like to know in advance how much it's going to be so I can have that all prepared.
So you know it is issue. Anything like that, if you're put like right on the spot,
yeah.
Tell me this, do this, no, I can certainly relate to that. On the other hand, I mean, this is, and so you know, obviously they did a story about Munger gets 33% of the math quiz, and then he, but without doing anything, then he went to Mendoza and asked her the same three questions, and she got them right. You know, she just really quickly got them. But,
well,
you know,
then that's how she should win the election. It should be a math bee.
First of all, you know, a controller is the person who cuts the checks,
right?
For
doesn't do the adding and subtracting, just prints the checks out.
Doesn't have an abacus,
right,
on his,
right,
or her desk.
Right.
Doesn't, you know, it's a completely bogus. First of all, it was a completely bogus thing for Munger to charge Mendoza with. It was just stupid. You know, it's like, it's nothing to do with, and the fact that she fails this basic math quiz was just hilarious. You know, it's just like a hilarious gotcha karma moment. It was absolutely perfect, and it was wonderful. And she blamed, and when she was asked about it, she said, well, I didn't understand his accent. And Kim is British, Jansen. So he does have a British accent. So he says, you know, what's 9 sevens or something like that? Or what's 9 sevens? But the thing is that if you watch the video, he asked her, and then she repeats the question before missing the answer.
Oh, and she got it right during that part.
So it was the cover up, and it was the mistake, and then the cover up. And it was just a hilarious moment. But of course, the truth about this election is that nobody really cares.
About
the controller is.
Yeah,
we've been trying for years to combine controller and treasurer because there's duplication in the office, and it's like they're both these, you know, basically clerical jobs.
Yeah,
state,
right,
government. And so we've been trying to do this, and we'd save, I think, about $12 million a year to do this every few years as another effort to combine these offices because it's a waste. And every couple of years, then
do other states combine them? Do you know?
Some states do and some don't.
Yeah.
It's mixed. A lot of states just have a treasurer because that's, you know, you need a treasurer, someone who gets the money and pays the bills. This, you know, separating it goes way back in our history. Why because we had a corrupt treasurer, you know, 40 years ago, 50 years ago, but. But the actual fact is that nobody cares. The only thing that this race is about is it's a proxy fight between Governor Rauner, the Republicans,
oh, sure,
and the Democrats who control the General Assembly, Mike Madigan, and Senate President Cullerton. So these two candidates represent those two in a statewide election, which is why this is important and why people are going to be paying attention to it. But it's, so, you know, my what I said in the paper was that this election is not about numbers; it's about letters, specifically D and R. That's what this is about, and you know, you can do all this finger pointing and stuff, but essentially, what these candidates have to do is they need to be talking about the side that they represent.
Yeah, of course.
Susana Mendoza needs to talk about why it's important to have the Democrats in charge in the state, and Leslie Munger needs to talk about why it's important for voters to give a vote of confidence to Governor Rauner. That's what this is all about. We have, of course, a few legislative races coming up, maybe five, six throughout the whole state, including both the Senate and the House, which could go either way, and they're dumping tons of money into those races. For the first time in memory, the Republicans have a significant war chest, thanks to Governor Rauner, you know, the Mr. Governor Moneybags. So he is helping fund that. And there's some other wealthy donors, too, who are putting a lot of money into these races. So it's going to be a really interesting test. But the Senate Republican leader Christine Redonia was on Rick Pearson's show on WGN yesterday morning, and she was saying that she acknowledged that it wasn't going to change control of the General Assembly, that that the Republicans are still going to be in a minority in both the Senate and the House, but she feels like if a couple of seats swing the Republicans' way, that's going to send a message to the Democrats to cooperate with Governor Rauner. I don't think that that's true. I think that the Democrats will hang on to the control that they have, and that we're in for just no matter what happens in this election, unless it's something enormously surprising. That we're
You never know.
But I think we're in for another 2 years of stalemate. I don't see the Democrats knuckling under to Governor Rauner's efforts, his so-called turnaround agenda. I don't see that happening, no matter what happens in this election. So I mean, there's some real issues with that. So,
absolutely. So. Eric, thanks. Welcome back.
Thanks.
We're thrilled to have you back. That's Eric Zorn. Read him in the Chicago Tribune. We'll find out what Steve Bertrand has coming up next. Stay where you are, Bill and Wendy, WGN.